This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Discussing fantasy comics. That's right, fantasy comics. For when fantasy football isn't quite geeky enough for you. We're talking about our individual comic book companies. Unfortunately, Todd Weber, the mastermind behind Danger Comics, has had to leave. And now, so he's not going to be with us the rest of this show, but we thank Todd for his time. A lot of fun. And we're going to get into the rest of the panel discussing some of the same things Todd talked about before we left. And before we left, I was asking Russell Sellers which pitches from other companies stood out to him, the ones that he would be most likely to read. Russell, go ahead.
All right. I picked four from everybody's pitches. Greg, I'm going to start with yours. Your detective pitch, I think Todd mentioned that one before. That one was like, out the gate, yes, I'm reading that. I mean, the whole like featuring Renee Montoya, I couldn't possibly say no to that book.
I mean, know that's one of the ones we talked about, and it was just you know it's one of the ones that I was most committed to making work somehow. It was just finding the right creators.
The whole Ed Brubaker thing, yeah, I'm so in. And then, of course, you're that trade of Jason Aaron you put to good use, sir. Well done. The Batman would have been the obvious one, but it was actually the Wonder Woman because you paired him with Fiona Staples, and I thought that was brilliant. That is something that I've become much more of a Wonder Woman fan in the past couple of years because of the Brian Azzarello run, and now because of the and even the current Meredith and David Finch run, which I'm really enjoying. Screw you, internet, for not. but anyway, just the idea of Jason Aaron with Fiona Staples right on a Wonder Woman title is just mind blowing, and I don't know. I would pay
$5. Those who don't know, Fiona Staples is the brilliant artist behind Saga, so go check that out.
I would pay $5-$6 a month for that title. DC, I don't know how you could possibly make that happen, but if somebody from DC hears this, make that happen. You have my money. Your Shazam book with Grant Morrison and Francis Manapul. That's genius, man. Grant Morrison handling Shazam just sounds like that's just money. Like people, that might not be like out the gate hit, but I think over the course of time, people would start to say, you know what, this is not only well written and like really diving into the concepts and like the deeper side of that mythology, but just the look of it. I mean, I can't even imagine like Francis Manapul's layouts for that book. I mean, it would probably put his Flash run to shame.
It was another instance of, and we talked about this a little bit off the air. You know, I've certainly made jokes about Grant Morrison before based on his Batman run and some of his stuff he does that doesn't work for me. But when he is on, he's really, really great. I think that he could do a really good job with a concept that can tend to be out there for people and whatnot. I think that he could take this and really, and especially pairing him with an artist like Manapul, I thought was a can't lose scenario.
And that was exactly how I viewed it too. I was like, this is his wheelhouse. That's the Grant Morrison wheelhouse. The concepts that are just so out there that he's not tied down to earth. Like I hate when Grant Morrison gets handed a character that is so tied down to earth. I mean, as much as I enjoy, you know, Batman as a character, I feel like he's all wrong for Grant Morrison because Batman's a street level character in my mind. And Morrison needs those concepts that allow him to play with an almost unlimited imagination. And something like Shazam opens those doors wide. So he has so much room to work with, but
I'm fairly certain that he probably sees talking tigers in real life. So I think he can make that
perfect. It's like it would be like having a real conversation. The last one from Greg's that I absolutely will be buying is The Authority from Cullen Bunn and Mike Deodato, which I love Cullen Bunn's Magneto, and he writes villains so well. And putting this book together, this was something that, on the surface, might not necessarily be something that I would just run right to, but just reading the pitch for it, kind of placing them all as not necessarily villains, but more anti-hero, that was exactly what I wanted to read. It's the perfect yang or yin to the Titans book, like having them kind of run. I know you were kind of hating on your own Titans pitch and how you'd go back and redo it, but I was like, I read the Authority. I'm thinking, no, put those two books together as a 1-2 punch, and you actually have something there.
That was my initial idea anyway, was to have that as the yin and yang situation.
All right, and I mean, those would be my ones. Okay, now coming from Tim's line, everything you see and everything you don't.
All of us have to have our interpretation of that line at some point.
I'm not doing that.
Please?
unless you want me to drink, like, the rest of the Crown Royal that's in front of me. And that we've done that before, and it winds up with me repeating the Orange Lantern Oath over and over again. And it just turns out to be a bad thing.
And Greg's running to murder you. Yes.
Let's just not. So let's just move on and have a good time.
All right. Well, you have time. But anyway, and for Tim's books, he knew exactly how to get me. You put Mark Waid on a Superman book.
Yeah.
From that point on, I didn't care what you were pitching. I was like, sold. Mark Waid on that. And, of course, the death-defying Daredevil, continuing the Mark Waid run. I couldn't say no to that. But on the different side, I know you said you did it as a last-minute thing, but that Moon Knight pitch with Warren Ellis and David Finch, Moon Knight, yep. I'm all over that. I've never even been a big Moon Knight fan, but just the idea of Warren Ellis and David Finch working together sounds like it's just going to be pure awesome. And I will be buying that every single month. And that you made it a $2.99 book also made me pretty happy.
Hold the line at $2.99. Well, I also had to bring in my pet favorite character, Madcap, who has that nihilistic – he's sort of like a precursor to Deadpool in a lot of ways, where he's not quite as funny. He's not quite as irreverent, but I don't know, has that same anarchistic nihilism to him that just, you know.
I loved how Tim, you know, if he didn't hold the line at $2.99, he didn't go that full dollar up. He went 51 cents up and went to $3.50 instead.
Yeah,
a subtle difference, but one that was much appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good on you for that, Tim. But the final one from your line, and I'm buying it just because purely out of unadulterated curiosity as to how it would come out, would be the Nova Corps.
You have no choice, you see. If you'll notice the way that the solicitation is written, you'll be getting it whether you want it or not. So
that was pretty much it. I was like, I have to get in on this because this is so out there and sounds like crazy fun and absolutely absurd that there's no way I can just ignore this. I'm going to try it out and just see how it all works. Maybe it'll be great.
Let's see how this nebula is formed.
It's fortunate this thing is digital only. Trees would commit suicide if they knew they were going to end up as such trash.
You know, I have a feeling
that you can say that I actually said that.
That would be a good pull quote to put on the trade, actually.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Well, that was the idea. I put it in the press release. So.
He did. Put it right there.
I have to interject this. I'm looking at Tim's company's page, Everything You See and Everything You Don't, comics on the Place to Be website, placetobenation.com. But anyway, I'm looking at it, and for God's sake, I've never noticed this in all of my however many years it's been since this movie came out. They actually painted fingernails onto Poison Ivy's gloves.
Oh, sure.
Jesus Christ.
The great
thing about that is, and we're getting way off topic, on the Blu-rays of the Burton Schumacher movies in the box set, there's a documentary on the making of each movie. And in the documentary for the making of Batman and Robin, Schumacher apologizes for making the movie, says that he never intended to hurt anyone's feelings or offend any Batman fans that were hurt by it. But he also thinks that because the movie was so bad, some of the positive aspects of it have been overlooked. And the one that he mentions is, he says that he thinks Uma Thurman's performance was really great and that people just don't give it the credit it's deserved because the rest of the movie was so bad.
Well, I think that Greg Phillips gives it the credit it deserves. And I think it's gone well acknowledged here on our series of podcasts.
Which brings us to Ho-Ho Wow Comics, I believe.
Or Todd's Danger Comics.
Oh, Todd's Danger Comics. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Fuck Danger Comics.
Oh, someone's mad over that JMS thing. Don't worry, I'm about to give JMS some love in a minute. Doom Patrol number one, the Doom Patrol book from Brian K. Vaughan and John Cassaday was the one that jumped out at me most prominently, just because that the whole pitch just sounds like this is insane, and it's Brian K. Vaughan. How could this not be awesome?
Yeah, great creative team.
Absolutely, and of course he knew how to get to me. I knew he was going to do something like this when he drafted Geoff Johns. I thought it was a hate draft right out the gate, but he gave me a Geoff Johns Justice Society of America, penciled by Gary Frank. Sold. That's all he had to say was that, because I already know that book is going to be awesome. And then the surprise for me was Furies, the Greg Rucka book, because like Todd, I follow writers more closely than anything, and Greg Rucka is one of the absolute best. And I've been reading his book Lazarus, and as I was looking through the pitch for this book, I was like, you know what? This is going to have not exactly the same concept or anything, but it's going to have a similar tone. So this book will be near the top of my pull list every single month. Kind of throw in an honorable mention to his Flash, because a Brian Michael Bendis Flash book is just money. Give me that. But the book that stood out most after that was Project Firestorm, another Greg Rucka book. And I'm totally going to screw up this artist's name. I think it's Olivier Coppel.
Close enough for me.
Yeah.
Coppel, kind of like Le Basu.
Yes.
That guy's
Which is a callback to the first ever cast of any kind that Greg and I did together, which is way obscure, but we're not even – anyway, moving on.
Great pitch for that one, as well as just the killer creative team. I love Quapel's art on Amazing Spider-Man. He drew a couple of issues of Spider-Verse. Super detailed. He draws some great action scenes. I think that he would be a natural fit for that particular book, and I hate that Todd's not here to discuss that one further. But moving on to last, certainly not least, Ho-Ho Wow Comics.
First down 10.
That's your tagline for every book. I'm going to go after I've filleted Todd enough there. I'm going to go right out the gate and say JMS, John Romita Jr., Amazing Spider-Man, because that was the book that brought me back to comics, and the idea of that team being back together and doing it one more time is just, yes, that would crank my nostalgia level up to about 12. So, yeah, I'd be all in on that book. And, of course, another JMS book, Thor. I enjoyed the JMS run, not nearly as much as I'm enjoying the Jason Aaron run, but you've completely sold me, because Asad Ribic is on art. That brings me right back in. So can't possibly say no to this book. The one that surprised me, that Young Justice pitch was really good too. But the other one, I'm going 3 for 3 on JMS books, that Black Panther.
And that was the last one I just threw on there. Like, I was like, yeah, I got room. Why not? Black Panther.
I liked it too, actually.
As I was reading it, I was like, I want this book. I was like, JMS and Billy Tan together on a Black Panther book just sounds like a great time to me. And the story, it was like, it's like this street level thing. Like, there we go. It's not complicated. It doesn't have to be. It's going to be good.
You know, one element of it that I think really helped it for me is the bit about taking up residence on the streets of Detroit. Because one of the things that has kept me from Black Panther over the years is I've never really found Wakanda a terribly interesting setting for a book. And I think moving him out of that and putting him in a less comfortable environment.
And Detroit was in no way a racially motivated choice for the
right.
What a racist.
I didn't get that from it at all. I actually that this was
neither.
This was just
pretty good.
I just thought it was a good pitch and something that I would be interested in reading. And of course, I'm gonna bandwagon this Gotham Major Crimes Unit. Sold. Not so like the Brad Meltzer. I'm not as big a Brad Meltzer fan as Nick is, even though I did like his JLA run. But you just put Jock on that book and. As much as I follow writers, Jock is one of my absolute favorite artists, and I think he would just demolish that title. It would be one of the great callbacks to his time on Detective Comics with Scott Snyder. And if he works with Meltzer in any way like he worked with Snyder, this is going to be one of the best crime and like noir titles on the shelf. So yeah, that's. That brings me to that closes out the books that would be on my my pull list from Excellent. All the other companies.
Excellent. Well, thanks a lot, Russell, for the craze and whatnot for all of us there. Nick, what about you? What are your favorite individual pitches from the other companies?
All right, let's run them down real quick. Obviously, like everyone else said, Detective. I mean, that's yours, Greg. I mean, Brubaker and Phillips doing a Montoya book. In the spirit of Gotham Central, that's something that you just can't say no to. Along the same lines, I have a boner for Jason Aaron. I have a boner for Jim Lee. I have a boner for Batman. That's three boners. That's
three times the normal amount of boners.
That's three times the boner for three
and
times.
And that's terrible.
Yep, and that's awful. So, yeah.
I understood that reference.
I'm buying that. Going down the list. Love and Gotham. That was probably one of my favorite pitches of all of this, and we'll get into this later. Because I think Greg, you and I share a unique or a common sentiment in that the Selina Kyle Bruce Wayne relationship, as much as it's always teased upon, is never really fully explored to the ability that it could be. And an ongoing set in that vein would be great.
That's right. Nick and I are shippers for Bruce and Selina.
We are shippers for Bruce and Selina, Ollie and Felicity, and I believe now Barry and Caitlin. Is that correct?
I believe that's what we decided upon.
I'm on board with all of this.
Yeah, we're unified in all those. Green Arrow, Ed Brubaker, combine those two characters together. Obviously, those two guys together. I'm obviously going to read that. Going down the list, The Authority. Not because of, I mean, like Colin Bunn's a great writer. He's done a good job with Sinestro, but the pitch itself, I thought that was one of the better written pitches. That was able to hook me on a concept that I wouldn't have thought otherwise and just completely sell me on the idea of those characters coming together, especially as Russell said it, a counterpoint to the Titans series. I thought that was good. And also Outsiders, because Atrocitus is a straight man, Keith Given writing Lobo, Larfleeze, Harley Quinn. Can't argue with that. Moving on to Tim's Everything You See and Everything You Don't Comics.
He said it.
I did indeed speak the words.
It's the Crown Royal goodbye.
Anyway, Infinity Spectrum, because I really dug obviously the creative team of Abnett, Lanning, and Pacheco, but also the lineup of those characters. While I don't know dog shit about Monica Rambeau, the idea of putting Silver Surfer, Thor, Superman together with Adam Warlock and kind of having them as the protectors of the Infinity Gems going forward, to me kind of read like almost a more important story than anything the Avengers could be doing, because for God's sakes, they're keeping like, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet from happening all over again. So I would totally, totally be into that. But at the same time, I mean, Joss Whedon, you know, Alan Davis can't say no to that. Very interested to see how the Retaliators are born and the adventures that they go on.
I may not actually call them that in the book, but, you know, you get the idea.
Well, that's false advertising, sir.
the actual name in the group is Retaliators question mark.
As it was said before, Moon Knight, exactly. For not just the character, but the creative team. That's as good a creative team. I mean, as good a combination of character with creative team that just kind of all seems to fit as any of these that we've seen. And then, of course, Nova Corps is probably the most hilariously and best written of any of these that that we saw. Moving on to Todd's Danger Comics. Obviously, I'll just go ahead and list these off the top. Let's see. Jeff Johns is writing Justice Society of America, so I'm going to read that. Jeff Johns is writing Aquaman, so I'm going to read that. Other than that, Furies I thought was a great pitch. Great concept for a lot of different characters that it would be really cool to see how they interact. Obviously, Barbara Gordon, Jessica Jones, Kitty Pryde, Raven, Mira, all characters that I have a lot of affinity for. So seeing them kind of interacting with one another in this team book would be a cool environment. One thing that I thought that I don't think anybody else has mentioned this, a Walt Simonson written and drawn book. I'm all over that.
Yeah.
Like,
that one actually slipped under my notice. That's a great idea.
That's a fantastic pitch that I will not miss. And then, obviously, anytime you get Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon together, especially on a character like John Constantine.
Yes.
Like, that's just that's too good to turn down. And then finally, moving on. Oh, wait a minute. One more from Tim's because, like I've said – or not Tim's, Todd's – that I've said before, he and I are the only two that have a real affinity. Getting Bendis back on Alias is that's something that I would certainly buy. Jessica Jones is a fantastic character, and anytime she can get – more exposure, no pun intended, it's a good thing. So moving on to Russell's, there are three that I really wanted to call out. Obviously that question book, just, you know, I going back to the Justice League Unlimited cartoon, been a big fan of that character, and this just sounds like, you know, the right creative team, the right tone, the right pitch for this character. As it's been said before, Nightwing, Scott Snyder, Tony Daniel, those are two creators who, correct me if I'm wrong, but Scott Snyder was writing Detective while Dick was Batman, while Tony Daniel was writing the main series while Dick was Batman.
Mm-hmm. That's
so that's the best of both worlds coming together to write, you know, pretty much the ultimate Dick book, if you will. And then
we're children.
The final one would be just for the not the creative team isn't great, because obviously I love any time Gail Simone's doing much of anything, but the pitch itself for Donna Troy I thought was really, really strong.
Yeah.
You know, again, coming from that background of Ultimate Spider-Man meaning a lot to me, anytime you can get some characters in the teen setting and get them to interact and, you know, do some interesting things there. That Donna Troy book, even though I'm not a huge, like, I know practically nothing about Donna Troy, it would be something that
I would totally
be interested in.
I think of all the characters that could use a concept like we came up with, Donna Troy is one of the top of the list, because talk about a character that could use just kind of a start from scratch, kind of modernization approach. Really, really a good move going with that.
Oh, and one that I forgot, even though it's not Russell's, go back to Todd's. Like I said earlier, the idea, especially in line with the show being the way it is now, of an awkward, you know, version of Barry Allen being written by Brian Michael Bendis, I'm all over that, man.
Yeah,
that would be my ultimate Dick book after my confession that I made to you, Nick Duke, on Facebook. That I have the most embarrassing crush of all time on Grant Gustin,
yeah,
as Flash. So,
well, I mean, anytime we're talking about any of our dicks, I think The Fastest Man Alive is probably the most appropriate title.
ladies and gentlemen. You get it all
or worse, yeah.
Which was,
you know, when you tune into this podcast, you get top notch humor, highbrow.
You get highbrow, you get lowbrow, you get medium brow. You get all kinds of browse is what
you
I'm getting
get
at.
Everything you see and everything you everything don't.
There it is. And when we're talking about Danger Comics, you get unibrow. So there you are.
Oh, I love me some Austin Powers humor. Anyway.
Oh wow.
Let's move on to Mr. Tim Cable. Sir, your favorite pitches from each respective publishing company, which are all fictional.
All right. Moving down the line.
Any creator listening, these are fictional publishing companies.
Yeah, keep that in mind. Although if you wanted
to
do
reminder,
these things.
Peter Davis did not write Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spider-Man.
If you do want to write these books, we highly encourage it. We think they'd all be cool. So.
And we'll give you
especially Jason Aaron writing Batman. Again, as I've said, three boners for the price.
And that's terrible.
And that's terrible.
That's terrible.
All right, so moving down the line here from Mr. Phillips, Wolverine, Brian Azzarello, and Francis Manapal. Azzarello, I think, would be an awesome fit for Wolverine. I'm kind of surprised he hasn't written him before, and I'm not entirely convinced that he hasn't. I feel like that must
it's
have
It's one of
happened.
Those things that you just feel like should have happened at some point.
Yeah, I want to Google it, but I just, you know, I don't want to interrupt the show to do this. But it just seems like such a good fit that it's like there's no way this hasn't happened yet, right? Francis Manapal, just an inspired choice of artist for Wolverine. So good on you, sir.
Thank you.
Detective Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, don't need to say anything more about that. Okay, moving on. Just echo everyone else's sentiments, really. Marvels by Jeff Smith. Oh, this just sounds phenomenal. I mean, Jeff Smith, what he would bring to the table for Marvels, which is kind of that, you know, that down-homey, fun kind of, you know, like all ages, but at the same time, it's almost like a – it almost feels like a version of a Pixar movie in comics. You know what I mean? Like
right. That's so much better of way of putting it than what I put it. But that's kind of what I was hoping for is kind of that kind of.
Yeah, and I mean, I love your pitch, but I just love that pairing of creator with concept. I mean, it just works. So Love and Gotham. Okay, let me. You'll appreciate this, Greg. I looked at that as like. Seedy underbelly of Gotham City crime world meets Melrose Place. So,
yes! For God's sake, finally! Someone.
So, yeah. I hope that's what you were going for. If it was, yes. I totally feel you there. And I think it's a great title, too. Love and Gotham. That sounds great. So, you will have my money for that. Oh, what else have we got for you, sir? Oh, Shazam with Grant Morrison and Francis Manapal. Once again, Francis Manapal, he, you know, that kind of traditional archetypical superhero type stuff where it's just bold, beautiful colors and Francis Manapal's rendering like he brought to the Flash to great acclaim. I'd love to see him on something like Captain Marvel, or as you're calling it, Shazam, of course, for copyright reasons. And Grant Morrison, here again, you surprised me by breaking out of the box a little bit and putting Grant Morrison on as many projects as he did, Captain Marvel being one that he hasn't really touched. So how about it, you know? I will be.
How about it?
I can respect any how about it reference there ever is. So, yep, how about it?
I would be intrigued, if nothing else, to see how that's going to turn out, even if it's a total train wreck. I mean, hey, it'll get my money.
He did it pretty well in a recent issue of Multiversity.
Well, all right. Well, maybe I'm missing out then. And my absolute favorite pitch of yours, Greg, as far as how it was written, high concept, whatever it is, The Authority. So cool. Like, The Authority is just a great name anyway. But the way that you are...
No credit to WWE, by the way.
No. That's, you know, way late to the party on their part. Magneto, Black Adam, Namor, and Doctor Doom. Fuck yes. I mean, it sounds like a almost sort of a spin on Marvel's, like, Illuminati-type deal. But with, you know, mixing it up with some other characters, concepts from other universes... And, you know, how are these personalities going to collide and interact? I mean, Yeah, and Mike Diodato on art. I have been a big supporter and fan of Diodato since probably the mid-90s, even when he was somewhat controversial and, you know, it wasn't necessarily him, but his studio, that whole thing. But he's really coming to his own in recent years, and he seems like a great fit for that type of project.
I really wanted to focus on the kind of almost Illuminati aspect, these kind of world leaders that are secretly kind of conspiring to kind of undo the events of others. So
yes, exactly, and how those personalities are going to clash. Moving on to RS Comics from Russell Sellers. Blue and Gold, I think I've already sung the praises of this enough already. You know, Booster Gold is one of my all-time favorite DC characters, and his kind of that kind of buddy cop friendship with Blue Beetle. I mean, I will always, you know, show up for that kind of thing and take my money. Dan Slott has been a little bit hit and miss, at least in recent years. But this could kind of give him a fresh start. You know what I mean? Like, after doing the Spider-Man stuff, you know, however you feel about that, to put him on some new characters, but with that sort of similar, almost sitcom-y feel to it, I feel like, but in a good way, that's something that I would love to see. Moving to, The Question, yes. Steve Niles and Sean Murphy. You know how some writers, it's like they could write the phone book, or certain actors could recite the phone book, and you'd be there for it.
I've always said that Chris Nolan could direct a live action My Little Pony, and I'd be the first motherfucker in line. So I understand what you're saying.
I think I would too, even with my feelings towards Nolan, only to see how that would turn out. But being but that's a discussion for the Movies of the Generation podcast, which
you can find the ongoing series of that, by the way, at placetobenation.com.
Sean Murphy could illustrate the phone book, and I would buy it. I fucking love everything he does. I don't care what property, what project you put him on. Sean Murphy is the man. So The Question, seems like a great fit for him, regardless of how unabashedly I love his work. So yeah, I will be there for that. The Endless sounds incredible with these kind of,
finally.
Yeah. So how is someone not mentioned and given some love to The Endless by now? I mean, Ghost Rider, Blade, Sandman, Zatanna, Dr. Fate. So once again, a melding of different elements, which, that's sort of what I look for in this type of project, where you're going to draft characters from high profile characters from both companies, but do the type of titles that you could see happening at one company or the other, but with that sort of amalgamation and mixing up of characters that seem to have a lot in common. So
once and drawn again, by J.H. Williams,
right? J.H. Williams III. So yeah,
it'll be my best looking book, easy.
Easily, yeah. Crimson Avengers, you know, continuing that thread of Clover throughout a lot of Russell's solicitations, which is pretty cool. I like the way that he sort of emphasized that shared universe aspect of all of his solicitations. So. You know, that's the type of thing that just kind of taps into something with me, where it's going to appeal in that sense of, as a comics fan, knowing that this is all happening under the same roof, even if they're not directly crossing over and continuing from one title to another, this just that same thread running throughout different books. So yeah, anything where I saw Clover, I was like, oh. Yep, I see what he's going for. That's cool. And then what have we got? What have we got? Clover, I already mentioned. Pitches from Ho Ho Wow. Comics. Nick Dukes. Justice League. Brad Meltzer, who has some experience on JLA previously, which I thought was pretty good. Not maybe what I was expecting from that, but I don't know. Could have been more, but yeah, it's Brad Meltzer on Justice League. And paired with the artist, Steve McNiven, oh my God. You know, McNiven's done a lot of really high-profile, like, iconic Marvel. He's sort of that go-to guy whenever there's a big Marvel project, it seems like, where they need that hot artist. They seem to find McNiven because...
And I took him because of Civil War. And, like, I felt like
I was gonna say,
Civil War, he drew, like, so many just... Maybe not... I don't think any of his versions of any characters were necessarily, like, unique or definitive. But they were the great... They were just that iconic superhero, like, that... Just that... I'm struggling for the word, but that, you know, that iconic square jaw traditional superhero. Yeah.
Here's the way I look at it. As much as people made of the delays on Civil War, and it was like, oh my God, you know, Marvel has screwed everybody over. This book is shipping late. Why didn't they have more issues in the can before they solicited? And Marvel's take on that was, you know, we want to have something that's going to be timeless, that's going to have a uniform look and feel that when it's collected and, you know, 5, 10, 20 years down the line, when we point to this is our story, collected edition, Civil War, it's going to have that signature stamp from a writer, Mark Miller, and artist, Steve McNiven, and not, you know, all of a sudden change midstream where the first three issues are from one artist and the, you know, the next four, somebody totally different just for the sake of it coming out on time. They were like, you know, who's going to care that this shipped, that this series shipped late 5 years from now? And I think that's borne out. Yeah, I think that's borne out. You know, the proof is in the pudding there.
And regardless of your feelings in Civil War as a story, one way or the other, I think it wound up being what the creators intended for it to be.
Exactly. And it's all the better for having McNiven on for the duration of it. That's one of the ways Infinity Gauntlet suffered back in the early 90s. Start out with Perez, who was, you know, just brilliant. And then I guess when deadlines started looming, when he was slipping, turned into Ron Lim, who, you know, is a capable artist in his own right, but he's no Perez. So, you know, that's one of the ways that story suffers, because they decided it has to come out on time that Civil War didn't, where they made the hard choice of we're going to have a uniform look here from one artist, and it's McNiven all the way. So, I don't know that this book is going to come out on time monthly, but I will definitely be there on whenever it does ship to pick up Justice League by Meltzer and McNiven. Straczynski and Romita on Spider-Man, hey, you know, I loved what they brought to the table previously. I don't fault you at all for going back to the well there. When they were able to chart their own course and do their own thing, I mean, they were firing on all cylinders. I feel like the book kind of got taken away from them once things like, you know, House of M and Civil War got underway. That's just the nature of, you know, being in that collaborative kind of environment. But shit, I mean, I would definitely pick up that series again if they are definitely having full creative control over, you know, their vision. You definitely use Kelly Sue DeConnick to good effect in a lot of different ways, whether on Batwoman or on Birds of Prey. I love pretty much everything she touches. She's also on Young Justice. So, yeah, I mean, I think all of those books are pretty much a lock for me. Oh, let's see. Not to cut you short, because there's a lot of stuff, Nick, actually, that I am all over here, but just in the interest of time and fairness, I guess. Moving on to Todd, I've already mentioned Squadron Supreme is a great title. Bendis doing that kind of high-profile Avengers-y thing on a similar concept. Doom Patrol by Brian K. Vaughan, John Cassidy, just echoing what everyone else has already said about that. Well-written pitch, great concept. Gary Frank on Justice Society as the artist. I don't think he's gotten a lot of acknowledgement yet, but I pretty much love all of Gary Frank's work.
And he's excellent with Johns on Batman Earth 1.
Yeah.
And he just knocked it out of the fucking park.
And on a team book, I think he would, you know, really bring something special. Furies, depending on your point of view. Enough said there, right? Dragon's Code, right?
Chuck, thank you, yes.
How has no one mentioned this yet?
That, believe me, I'm going to mention it.
Chuck Dixon, Phil Jimenez, and Emma's found – it almost sounds like these Netflix series Marvel's doing right now. Like, this is what my perfect ideal of what one of those shows would look like, you know, that kind of – that underworld – conspiratorial element where, you know, it's just a lot of scheming and has that noirish feel at the same time. Just, you know, it ticks off a lot of boxes. Let me put it that way. So, that made me my favorite, you know, best written pitch of all of them, from Todd. We already talked about Incredible Hulk by Walt Simonson, written and drawn. Nothing else to add to that. I will definitely be there. Let's see. Who else have we got? Is that everyone? I think I hit everyone, didn't I?
I think that's everyone.
Yep. All right.
Great.
Moving on to me, and I'm going to try to limit my number on these just for the interest of time. Everybody's got multiple pitches that I liked, but I'll try to keep it as reined in as I possibly can. As far as ones that I would be most likely to read, probably the pitch that I would be most likely to read from anyone is Nightwing from Russell, which he has set up obviously with Scott Snyder writing it. I can't say enough about it. Like, to anybody that knows my love of Dick Grayson knows that one of my favorite Grayson story, probably my favorite Dick Grayson story actually, is The Black Mirror by Scott Snyder. So you take Scott Snyder, pair him with Tony Daniel, and put him on a proper Nightwing book with a starting-from-scratch approach where Dick doesn't have to be drawn into bat crossovers. You're basically just taking money from me instantly because there's no concept in comics that would sell me more than that, to be honest with you. And
such a good use of Dick.
Absolutely. Totally.
It's a $4.99 book.
Wow.
I'm giving you my $4.99 in this case because this would solve so many of the issues that I have with the treatment of.
I just want to say that, Greg, you may think that you know RS Comics, but you don't know Dick.
Oh, bad.
Thanks, Dan. And you know, Dick doesn't come cheap, so I understand the price.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
good
also.
Good Dick doesn't come cheap.
I will also throw, of course, echoing several thoughts that have been said. The question, I mean, phenomenal. From the minute that Russell told me about that idea that he had for it, I mean, I'd be all over it. I have to be honest. I don't know what Steve Niles has written. I'm not really familiar with him. I know Sean Murphy's. I know Sean Murphy's art, and I love the character and love that approach to the character. Very inspired by Justice League, the television series, or Justice League Unlimited, rather. So got to give love to that. The Endless looks really cool, really good pitch. Going through – what else did I have written here? Oh, I'm going to give some love to the Green Lantern pitch. I liked it a lot. I think – Jason Fabok drawing Green Lantern and focusing on sort of a John Stewart as the only Green Lantern, and he is trying to figure – it's similar to the approach that I went on more of a cosmic basis with Green Lantern, where he's trying to figure out his powers as it goes along and keeping it very bound to earth. Those books I would buy for sure. The Flash, Fastest Man Alive, number two behind Nightwing from Russell on the book that I would buy instantly. Yes, I'm an unabashed Wally West fanboy, but Jeff Lemire and Greg Capullo is an unbelievable creative team to put together a new start on Wally West, who's a great character. The pitch is good. To me, fantastic pitch. I'll leave it with that in the interest of time. But yeah, The Flash, Fastest Man Alive, and Nightwing and The Question are just standouts to me, along with The Endless as well. Moving on to – who do I have next here? Moving on to Tim, no secrets here, Extraordinary X-Men, my favorite pitch, maybe in the entire – as far as – the one that I'd be most likely to buy would be Nightwing, but maybe my favorite pitch of the bunch may have been Extraordinary X-Men, because it's a concept that – you know, I don't talk about them a whole lot anymore because I haven't been familiar with the X-Men for over a decade now, but they really are my favorite concept in the Marvel Universe, and I just think that it's such a good job of distilling that down back into something that I can recognize again, back into something that, you know, people could I think jump on board with and follow. Fantastic creative team with Busiek and G. Willow Wilson, and Salvador LaRocca drawing it. I think it's just a great approach, a great pitch, and it's definitely the one that I would be most likely to buy from Tim. Also, Death Defying Daredevil. Primarily because of the pairing of Mark Waid and David Aja? Aha? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Aha!
Well,
aha.
Maybe so. Honestly, the reason I did that, another one of my blunders was I totally neglected to draft Chris Samnee. So I was like, oh, wait. I got David Aja, aha, from, Iron Fist, right? So.
Right.
How awesome would he be illustrating Hawkeye. Daredevil? Yeah, and Hawkeye, yeah. So how great would he be as a fit for Daredevil? So the pitch was kind of shitty, to be honest with you. It was basically like, hey, more of the same. But I was like,
I don't know. With that creative team, I mean, I would buy that book. Of course, NovaCore. I don't know if I'd buy NovaCore, but I would at least thumb through it at the store.
Once again, you have no choice.
No, that's true. I guess I'd look through it on my iPad that it would be automatically installed on or whatever.
Right.
Oh, and credit to New Warriors, which has a hilarious pitch, so I would probably be likely to purchase that.
I will shamelessly cop to ripping that off from a similar concept. It's called The Losers. It was a spinoff from Runaways, I believe, and it was – like the mid-2000s, I think C.B. Cebulski, I don't know if I'm butchering that name, was the writer, and he created this like superhero, ex-superhero support group. So it was guys like Daredevil and Penance and one of the Power Pack kids who's a little bit older now, and they were like, they didn't want to be superheroes anymore, so they formed this kind of support group among themselves, but kept getting drawn into superhero-y type concepts. Kind of a takeoff on that, but at the same time, like, these guys are still superheroes, still want to be superheroes. It's just they're a little bit more isolated now than they have been in the past. You know, they're not hanging with their usual circle of friends and allies and just came together. And yeah.
And they're lazy millennials reaching for their brass ring.
You bet. So
there's always that as well. And
are any of them Swiss?
I don't know.
Well, I included the they're attracting allies or kindred spirits or something like that. I don't remember how I worded it. But I didn't want to make it seem like these were the only characters who would appear in this book. So I'm leaving that door open.
So there's still room for Cesaro, is what you're saying?
Absolutely.
And also, obviously, Superman by Mark Waid would sell like gangbusters, and I would buy it as well. So moving on to – let's get to Todd's. First of all, Hellblazer by Ennis and Dillon. Mm. I'm just going to get these out of the way. Hellblazer by Ennis and Dillon, sold. JSA by Johns and Frank, sold. Aquaman by Johns and Morales sold. So obviously those are the ones that had the teams that were already put together. I'll go beyond that and pick another one that I'd be most likely to buy, and that would be the Dragon's Code, which I think I mentioned earlier. This is right up my alley. It's like taking the things that I love about the Arrow TV show, mixing it with my love of martial arts movies. The setting. I think Hong Kong underworld is kind of one of the most interesting settings in comics. And same thing with the Japanese crime underworld. Just interesting setting in comics, movies, whatever. And the fact that this book would kind of be going back between those two worlds, very, very much right up my alley. Big fan of that. Obviously, everyone's already sung the praises of Doom Patrol. Don't need to go there. Great concept. I think the Defenders I have to be honest, I'm not familiar with the actual Defenders concept in Marvel that well, but I love his pitch for it.
There isn't one.
They just kind of write comics about it. They just kind of swing it. And of course, The Flash with Brian Michael Bendis and Doug Mankey, another excellent pitch that I think Nick pointed to earlier as being a really standout one from Todd. And on Nick's, the one that I would be most likely to buy, there's a lot of them that I would buy, but the one that I'd be most likely to would actually be Green Lantern, because like Nick, I have a very strong affinity for each of these creators on Green Lantern. Peter Tomasi, Ethan Van Sciver, they're so important to founding or for fostering my love of the character, of the concept, of the mythos. And I love the fact that it's kind of flying in the face of the last several years of Lantern stories where it's taking place. You know, even though I think in general I prefer Green Lantern to be a space-based book, I love that Nick's book is going back to Earth and going back to basics, and how does Hal react to being in these, you know, being home, and it's a little bit different, and, you know, has to deal with everyday normal dude problems in addition to being the Green Lantern that's supposed to be protecting Earth. Love that concept. Thor by Straczynski and Ribic, you know, right up my alley as well. Can't really beat Ribic. Justice League by Meltzer. I believe Tim was talking about that one. I like the lineup a lot. Like, I think that as a writer, especially a writer that's talented like Meltzer, I think you can play a lot around with these personality types that are on the team. You got Hal and Spidey and Thor, certainly. Batwoman. Martian Manhunter, just a very interesting mix of characters. Young Justice, oh, I can't believe I haven't mentioned that. I think I told Nick the day after the draft, or the day after I first saw these pitches, that Young Justice was one of my favorites, because great mix of characters. Red Robin, who's the leader in the leader mold. Calderon, who's also in the leader mold, so you've got kind of a natural competition there between them. Damien and Emiko, who have very similar personalities, that kind of bratty, aggressive, think they know it all personality. Supergirl, who's kind of, you know, new to the world, I'm assuming, and kind of, you know, still trying to find herself, find her identity. Kate Bishop, who's very strong-willed, kind of an actions first kind of person. Great lineup, great pitch. Big fan of that one. And then to kind of put a bow on it, I'd also have to give some love to the Spectre book. Andrea Sorrentino drawing the Spectre, Ray Fox writing. I like the pitch a lot. And actually, one more. New Guardians. Love the use of Gore the Lantern Butcher. I think that's a really clever switch on a familiar character, and I like the pitch for that as well. So I believe that's everyone. Have I gotten everyone?
That's it.
All right. Well, from here, in the interest of time, we're going to kind of make this kind of a bit of a lightning round to get through the rest of this next set of questions here. Which pitches did you think were the best written? And I'm going to start with Nick. And just real quick, which pitches did you think were the best written?
Oh, man, you threw me a curveball. I thought we had moved past that. I'll go with your authority one. Like I said earlier, characters that I wouldn't necessarily read a title with, but and creators that I like, but I'm not, you know, huge fans of. And so, just reading the concept itself, I felt like the pitch itself was what sold me on the book, and that wound up being one of the several titles of yours that I was interested in based on the strength of the pitch alone.
Very cool. Tim, what about you?
Oh, man. This feels so wrong, but Captain Marvel and Power Girl number one. Can I just read the pitch? Because
sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Special splash page only issue. Carol and Kara team up to take on the nefarious team of sinister Mistress Stiletto and Lady Burlesque at the Space Bordello. Are the Platinum Princesses in over their heads? And what happens when the girls meet up for a double date with Space Cabby and the Jack of Hearts? For mature readers. It's just so wrong. It's just so wrong and so un-PC. And it's going to get, just raked over the coals. And, Todd's the one company that I feel like would be the most critically acclaimed, if not for.
I feel like there should be a line like, if you're complaining, at least they could have been fridged instead. It's been a great addition
I really admire his gusto. I mean, I have to give him a pat on the back for actually having the gall to publish this.
Excellent. Russell, what about you? Favorite written pitch?
It was a really tough one because there are so many. I keep coming back to this this detective pitch that Greg wrote for between Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. That it's short, it's sweet, it's to the point, but it's also this is something that just it speaks to me. It pulls me in very quickly, and I just get excited reading it. So I'm like, I want this to be a real thing. So that's going to be my pick for absolutely the one that I'm going to love the most.
Definitely. And I'm going to, again, tough to pick just one, but I'll probably go with Extraordinary X-Men from Tim, because it's one that really the pitch is what won me over on it. And so I will pick that one. But I guess moving along, we'll go to the next set here that we have on our list of questions. Which company other than yours would you buy the most titles from and why? And I will start with Tim on this one.
It's going to be Nick, actually.
Wow.
I think he and I took a similar approach and kind of examining what we ended up with post-draft and making the most of our assets and disguising our liabilities as much as possible to the extent we had them. And I don't think that Nick had a lot of liabilities, to be honest with you. He had some really good high-profile series, taking iconic characters, I should say, that are kind of going to sell regardless of who you assign them to, but also taking some characters that, aren't in that upper echelon, but putting them in the hands of creators who could take them to the next level. So, he made pretty good use of JMS, who I don't know if he's the marketable commodity today that he used to be, but, I'm still a fan, and I think that he's going to be the right fit for the type of properties that Nick has assigned him to. But beyond that, I mean, just a lot of stuff that you just go boom, boom, boom down the list. It's like, yeah, this is really going to turn some heads for sure.
Very cool. Very cool. Russell, what about you? Which company other than yours would you be the most likely to buy the most titles from and why?
It's really close between two of these, but it's going to be between yours, Greg, and Todd's. Both of these just really speak to my sensibilities, like what I like to read in comics, kind of the nature of a potentially shared universe, but also just the creative teams are just so strong on so many of these books. A lot of my favorite writers are kind of split between these two, but I think if I'm going to have to pick just one, I'm going to go with Todd. He wins out for some of these pitches from Bendis that are just – they sound so great. Like, I normally probably wouldn't have read a Squadron Supreme book, but just that creative team and that pitch of it has sold me on it. All of his Geoff Johns books, the Brian K. Vaughan Doom Patrol, that Flash pitch, which is outstanding. And of course, Furies, you know, there's just so much to love here. I'm going to go with Todd's Danger Comics is going to get the vast majority of my money.
Excellent. Excellent. And what about you, Nick?
I'm going to go with yours, Greg. And I'll quickly run down. I did this. I prepared before this podcast. I did my homework, if you will. And I wound up figuring out that you had 8 books that I would definitely buy. Of those, I believe they were Wolverine, just for Azzarello alone. Detective, obviously, as we've touched on. Batman again. 3 boners for the price of 1. Wonder Woman for Jason Aaron. Love and Gotham. Like we spoke earlier, Green Arrow, I would buy. Green Lantern, I would buy. And The Authority, I would buy. And The Outsiders. So all of those books I would buy more than anybody else that I counted down.
Well, I appreciate it. And that brings me to myself. And allow myself to introduce myself. And for me, it was also a 2-company race for number 1 that both of them had very even numbers when I crunched them. And it was between Russell's and Todd's. I think that ultimately I am going to slightly lean towards Russell's because I think that I think in general his titles have more that go more in kind of – on the whole have more that go slightly into my wheelhouse.
On the whole.
Preparation H does feel nice on the whole. Yes, Blue and Gold, I would be all over. The Question, I'd be all over. Nightwing, The Endless, Guardians of the Galaxy with Jon Stewart included. Very interesting pitch. The Scott Snyder Earth 2 Batman book, the Green Lantern with a Jon Stewart angle on it. Donna Troy was really well written. Invincible was an interesting pitch as well, tied into Nightwing. The Flash, of course, I already mentioned. For me, it would be Russell's slight edge over Todd. Todd had a lot of great ones as well, but I'd have to lean on Russell on that one. Now that brings us to the next question: which company, other than yours, do you think would do the best critically? And I guess I'll start off on this one. I really think Tim's would be a critical darling company. Honestly, like you've got. Mark Waid is probably the most universally beloved comic book superhero writer among critics, I would say. And putting him on Superman, that just seems like a can't miss. Really strong critical acclaimed writers like Peter David, you know, used on multiple books. A lot of diversity across your line. A lot of, you know, G. Willow Wilson's a brilliant writer, getting her involved in multiple books. You know, a lot of different out there concepts. World's Finest, because it's standalone. Critics love standalone, so I think that would do really well. Kind of a bunch of standalone, you know, short arc adventures drawn by legendary creators. Looking across the board, I mean, Jonathan
Hickman.
Color
me very surprised.
critically acclaimed Jonathan Hickman. You got a lot of. Looking across the board, Matt Fraction writing a Thor book, Joss Whedon, of course. Everybody loves Joss Whedon, without exception, I think. So, and of course, my favorite creative team of Wade and Aja on Daredevil.
Aha!
And Warren Ellis and David Finch. I mean, to me, it was between you and Russell's, but I think the top to bottom, I think that yours has the – yours is going to get the most 5-star ratings, I think, from the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
All right.
So, Tim, what about you? What do you think would be the most critically acclaimed?
Well, I guess that's a pretty good segue because, as I said, I think that Todd's would be the most critically acclaimed just due to the, I guess, diversity of what he was establishing, if not for that damn Howard Chaykin thing, which I know is kind of a joke and a little bit of wish fulfillment on his part. I mean, I know he's a big Howard Chaykin fan, and, you know, he's pretty self-aware of how that would go over, and more power to him for that. But I think that's the type of thing that
I wish that book actually existed so I could see Gail Simone's reaction to it on Twitter.
Right.
Like, that alone, I think, would be worth the price of admission.
It's like the one bad apple that just sort of spoils the orchard. So I've got to give him, you know, if nothing else, an honorable mention, I guess. But and in all fairness, again, that was still my favorite pitch. It's just so funny. Yeah. and irreverent. But, you know, I guess this makes for a good segue, because barring Todd Weber's, you know, solicitations and selection as most critically acclaimed, I'm going to go with you, Greg, because once again, you've got concepts that just have the right pairing of creative teams. Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips on Detective, who's not going to, you know, be over the moon over themselves because of that. Jason Aaron and Jim Lee on Batman, hello. I mean, and again, Wonder Woman with Jason Aaron and Fiona Staples. Jason Aaron can kind of do no wrong or no matter what he writes. And, you know, we've seen Azzarello on Wonder Woman before. What is Jason Aaron going to bring to that? And I think that's a great fit for his kind of style and his sort of quirky, I don't know, I don't want to call it irreverence just because it's such a kind of blah word, but I think that it would just kind of bring that intangible to Wonder Woman that's really needed, because you never know quite what you're going to get with Wonder Woman, but Jason Aaron, it just feels right. So
yeah, it does.
And I've sung the praises of Marvels by Jeff Smith already. I've mentioned that you're using Grant Morrison to really good effect. Haven't said anything about Green Arrow with Brubaker and Chris Samnee, but as little interest as I've had, you know, just kind of traditionally, I guess, and Green Arrow as a character in the comics over the years, if Brubaker was writing him, I would definitely show up for that. And, you know, he's kind of a critical darling for sure. Already talked about, you know, Shazam with Grant Morrison. Stargirl, James Robinson. James Robinson has been really hit or miss, but I think this could be a return to form for him. So I'm optimistic about how that would turn out.
I'm such a huge fan of Stargirl as a character.
Me too.
That yeah. I feel like it would be a natural pairing.
It's like I want it to be good. As much as this is not going to happen, I just read the solicitation and think I want this to be good so bad. I've already talked about the Authority with Colin Bunn and Deodato. The alignment, sort of along the same lines there with Robinson and Tony Harris, you know, how about it? Yeah, once again. So, yeah, there's just a good mix of, you know, creators on concepts that they'd be a good fit for. So I think critically, you're really onto something.
Well, thanks. Much appreciated. Nick, what about you? What do you think would be the most critically acclaimed company?
Everything You See and Everything You Don't by Tim, for all the reasons that Greg said.
All right, then. I will take all the credit for making the arguments for you, Tim.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
and moving on to Russell, what about you, my friend?
Let's make it 3 for 3 then, because I really do think that Tim's would appeal to like critical reviews or like the critic circles that are writing today would pretty much love just about everything his company's putting out. I can't see them not liking it. I don't want to get too far ahead, but I also feel like it's not just because the pitches are good, but it's also because it's bold. It takes risks where, like, some of us really did kind of, I hate to say play it safe, because I felt like some of us really did get really creative with our lineups. But looking at Tim's pitches, I was just like, this is, you know, the kind of, like, risky stuff that I just can't see not paying off. It seems like it's kind of like the lightning in the bottle. It just looks like something that people are going to want to read this, and this is something that the critics are going to be handing out those 4.5 and 5-star ratings for.
Excellent. And we'll stick with you for this next
Your
one.
Your check is in the mail, sir.
Thank you.
Speaking of checks, wonderful, wonderful segue. Because we're going to stick with Russell and ask him, which company do you think would do the best financially? In other words, which company would have the best success on the sales charts?
That one was pretty easy, just looking at the creative side of it. Greg, you're going to be a rich man.
I could finally quit my damn journalism job.
Yeah. That bat book is going to make you so much money. You get Jim Lee to put that book out on time, and you're going to be selling upwards of 200,000, 300,000 copies per month without, you know, doing much effort. You don't even have to really advertise that book too much. It's going to sell itself.
I don't even have to write solicits for it, really.
You really won't.
Just have Jim Lee draw a cover and have Jason Aaron's name on the front and just let it go.
Just about all of your Jason Aaron books are going to sell big. But that Batman book is going to be huge. Again, and going back to all your Ed Brubaker books, I think that Green Arrow book is going to be a massive hit. And I think that Love and Gotham? That's going to be your sleeper hit. That's going to be the one that people don't really pay that much attention to it at first, but then the critical love and word of mouth is going to spread about it, and all of a sudden it's going to be like that slow burn that becomes a raging wildfire.
I feel like we should be playing the Silk Stockings theme over this.
What a reference!
This fellatio for Love and Gotham, because it's just it really fires on all cylinders here. With that. I mean, I compared it to Melrose,
thanks,
but it's just, oh my gosh.
But yes, I think that Greg is going to make the most money out of all of the companies there. I mean, all these companies, I think, are going to do well financially. But you've got the strength of that Jason Aaron, Batman, and Wonder Woman 1-2 punch, along with Ed Brubaker. If you can't make money with that, then I don't know what to say for you.
Somebody's not keeping the books properly. Well, excellent. Yeah. I'll go next. And looking at all the companies top to bottom, I feel like Knicks would have a very decided sales advantage on a lot of ours. He's got – you've got the pure name power of Justice League, which I know was a big factor in the team draft. And the name Justice League is going to sell, but then you've got Justice League paired with Spider-Man, which are two of the best-selling concepts in comics. Tough to go wrong there. You've got two solo Spider-Man books are with high-level creative teams. Those are going to sell. I mean, Spider-Man's. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Spider-Man is still by far Marvel's highest-selling individual character. So I feel like that's a can't miss sales juggernaut. Green Lantern with Van Sciver will draw the Green Lantern hardcores for sure. Thor by Straczynski with Esad Ribic will draw the critical fans of Ribic's Thor. Looking down the line at some other pairings, I think that Punisher and Red Hood would speak to a very specific audience that's still out there, fans that do like the kind of violent action comics of the 90s that I grew up on, I think you would have a very – and I think that you did a good job of appealing to different niches, and that's a niche that is probably underfilled in the current market, and I think that would do really well.
And Romita on Punisher, is that something that we've seen a lot of before? I think – didn't he do that – Punisher Batman crossover, like
I believe, yeah, back in the 90s, the one with,
with the Azrael Batman, of course, but still,
yes,
he hasn't done a whole lot of like regular, like mainstream Marvel Punisher, and would be an awesome fit for the character.
I took the inspiration for that from Kick-Ass because of the like at times violent nature of the Hit Girl sections of that book. It just kind of made sense to me.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. And him and we're not really talking about pitches anymore, but that's a pitch that I wish I had mentioned because I really, really enjoyed that pitch as well. And then you look across the board, Brad Meltzer writing a crime book. Again, it's going to sell. And then you get into some of the, again, Green Lantern stuff it's got a high floor anyway. And then you have I think a book, you know, as outlandish as it is, Rocket Raccoon and the Zoo Crew in today's comic book market for that niche of people that are reading, like, you know, that are reading Rocket Raccoon right now, which is selling well, I think they'd be all over that book, especially with DeMatteis writing it and the lineup that includes my boy Nord in it. So I think top to bottom from the sales perspective, I think Nick is my pick, and that rhymes. Nick, what about you from a commercial standpoint? Who is the coup de grace, if you will?
Well, back when we started this all these many hours ago, I mentioned that coming into the draft, I felt like there were a handful of characters that really move the needle in terms of financial success. And I mentioned, I believe, Batman, Spider-Man, and Wolverine. Greg, you had two of those characters. And if nothing else, those two characters are gonna sell together more than a lot of people, you know, five or six books combined. When you throw in Jason Aaron writing Batman, for God's sakes, I mean, again, three boners for the price of one. You can turn down that kind of value. Yeah, and then, you know, books like Wonder Woman, Hex, which still serves a niche market, Marvels, which if it's marketed appropriately, can sell in the same vein as something like Adventure Time, which is a pretty well selling book marketed at kids, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say yours there.
Well, thank you, sir. Tim, what about your pick for commercial success?
Gosh, you and Nick are really neck and neck there. With respect to Nick,
we often are neck and neck,
aren't you? Though,
again, three boners for the price of one.
You look at stuff like Justice League Elite, Charles Soule, Brian Hitch. I mean, that's just kind of a license to print money, I feel like. Same story with, as I had mentioned before, in an altogether different category, Justice League, Brad Meltzer, Steve McNiven. I mean, come on. That's, you know, that's going to be in the, you know, 200K monthly diamond charts. You know, mm-hmm. As infrequently as it may come out or not, it's still going to, you know, rocket to the top of the charts when it
plus
does.
Throw Spider-Man into the mix in the Justice
League.
And
he's got Spider-Man, a hot character, and, you know, Straczynski, you could say it's been done before, but so what? I mean, it's Spider-Man. You
could also say go fuck yourself on that, too, if you said it's been done before.
And hey, no, like I said, I'm on board for it, so other people can maybe go fuck themselves, but I feel like it's
boom.
A lot of self-fellatio here. At the end of the day, it's still going to sell. So you know what? Tough shit.
And if they do it, if they go fuck themselves at Greg's company, they can again do it with three boners for the price.
This is turning
into the that time of the draft when Nick's been imbibing.
It's turning.
No, I'm not even drinking.
I'm totally sober, by the way. The Orange Lantern oath here is but no, please keep it going. Please keep it going.
As in jokes go, the Orange Lantern oath is certainly an obscure one.
It sure is. But please keep it going. But then Greg, you know, meanwhile, I mean, for everything that has been said already, where he's got that, you know, he's got the Wolverine, the Batman, and the creators at the same time with Brubaker and Phillips that are just a proven commodity. Jim Lee, come on. So you guys, I mean, it's really going to be a fight for number one where you could kind of be flipping that top spot on the sales charts from month to month. I could see that happening.
I think the tiebreaker would probably go to Nick because he would be willing to stoop to launching public relations attacks on my company. So,
oh, I see.
I also have an all black team.
Well, didn't think of that, but that,
there you go.
You've got the diversity dollar, I suppose.
Diversity, that's right. Shameless pandering to the anyway.
Well, that's the other thing is you have to look at. I don't know, like, do sensibilities shift at some point in terms of what people are looking for? Is it going to be the kind of Marvel DC traditional model, or are attitudes going to shift at some point? I don't know, but you've definitely got the creators and the characters that seems like it ought to work because what's worked in the past, you know, should work in the present.
Excellent. Well, I definitely appreciate the love on that end. I was happy with the Jim Lee pick because of the sales they can bring to them. And I love the art. Which company, other than yours, took the most risks with the line? Nick, what about you? What do you think on that one?
That would have to be Todd, in my opinion. Just a variety of different books. Things like Furious Furies, which appeals to the female reader, or The Dragon's Code, which is a martial arts book that, you know, there aren't many of those floating around these days. Books of Magic, you know, an all magic, you know, a magic-based book. Deathstroke the Terminator, which kind of fills that villain-based niche. And then also, one of the things, I think he was the only one of us who specifically created or had books for mature readers.
True.
Captain Marvel and Power Girl got John Constantine Hellblazer, Sergeant Fury is Howling Commandos, Alias. That's what, four or five books right there off the top of my head.
So he almost has his own built-in Vertigo
line. Oh, his built-in Vertigo line, yeah. So a lot of diversity there. To me, that is the riskiest, in a good way, by the way, riskiest in a good way, a line. Even though, you know, he doesn't have any appreciation for J. Michael Straczynski, but that's, you know,
this is America.
This is America, and he has his right to his opinion, even if it's wrong.
Thank you, Jim Ross, for that that WrestleMania 18 like description. let's go to Tim on this one. Which company did you think took the most risks with its line?
Well, one good turn deserves another, so I'm going to stick with Todd here. Just like Nick said, you've got things that appeal to the female readership. Talking, of course, about Captain Marvel and Power Girl, number one.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, beyond that, he definitely took the most risks. Did things that I think Todd would like to see and, you know, things that I would like to see as well. I mean, there's a lot of these titles that I would buy, even if the rest of the world would feel maybe differently about them or have controversial opinions. You know, he definitely went out on that limb and said to hell with it. You know, this is going to be set apart from a lot of the other stuff out there. So credit to him for that.
Absolutely. Russell, which company do you think took the most risks with this line?
I think it's going to be a clean sweep. I'm going to go with Todd. Again, that's for everything that you guys have listed off. It's the one that really did have the most diversity, but it's not just from the appealing to, you know, different races and genders and of that nature. It's just the types of readers that you're looking for.
Right.
There are so many different types of books here, from the standard superhero fare to, like I said, is its own built-in Vertigo or Image-esque feel. That Captain Marvel and Power Girl issue again is just that's going to be controversial. That's going to
shake things up a bit.
That's going to light up
ruthless aggression.
Twitter's going to look like a fucking Christmas tree whenever that book actually hits the stands. So that alone wins him the taking the most risk. And I actually thought that he took another risk in a different type of way with his Plastic Man book, having that being written and drawn by Mike Allred, who is not a proven writer. But handing him a book to do all by himself, I'm sure it'll look great, because that just sounds like, you know, pure genius to let him draw that character. But letting him be the total and only creative voice on it, I thought was that's a bold move. That's a risk. It could pay off big, or it could be a complete flop.
Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about that, but yeah, you're right.
But that stood out to me. I was like, okay, well, most of us who used the writer-artist combo picked people who were already proven commodities on that, and Todd was the only one to pick somebody who has not done that, but somebody that he, you know, and maybe rightly so, feels that has been in the game long enough and has worked with so many high-profile creators that how could some of it not have rubbed off by now? So that's bold to me. So I'm going to give it to Todd all the way.
With me, I am tempted to give it to Todd as well, because he did take a lot of chances, not the least of which is publishing a title called Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu in 2015. That's a niche audience, man. I might buy it, but that's a niche audience. What I wrote down when I was going through it earlier is I wrote down Russell for this one, because I really thought that he had a mixture of comedy titles, action titles, kind of noir street level titles, you know, original concepts. That's the other thing that I took it from a risk standpoint, is a lot of his books are not using established concepts. You know, Crimson Avengers, yeah, you've got Avengers in the title, but that's a different kind of deal. Gwen Stacy Spider-Woman, we don't know how it's going to sell as a monthly title. That's a different, you know, that's still somewhat of a you know, a risky move. Val Zod as his own solo title is a risky move. Earth 2 Batman is his own solo title, risky move, although it's got Scott Snyder attached to it, so it's going to sell. You know, just kind of doing a different thing with Donna Troy, taking a different approach with Invincible. Clover, which is a totally original concept, getting its own monthly title. I really thought Russell went outside the box on a lot of these. Certainly Todd did as well. And Tim, actually, by the way, deserves some credit for diversity just for publishing that pitch for NovaCore, which appeals only to Neil deGrasse Tyson, I think. So,
while we're mentioning the box, it's important to remember that while these titles may be outside the box, J.M. DeMatteis is firmly inside the box, and the box is labeled Comedy Comics.
That's right. Sure, you may have written some of the most affecting, heartfelt, amazing comic books of all time.
Psychologically driven, complex, deep.
No one, and right. No one gives a shit.
And you're gonna be writing comedy.
How dare you, sir?
How dare you
attempt to leave the box? I agree.
You are a mid-card performer. A B plus
player.
He's
a B plus player.
Gosh.
Going Man. To play your role.
That is cool.
Given some things that were said earlier, hey, Charles Soule, you want to look at your future?
we're gonna make you the offbeat Lantern Corps writer, and that's your box. That's
so incredibly unfair, because J.M. DeMatteis is the guy that got me into comics.
Dude is awesome. He's one of the best of all.
That warms the cockles of my heart.
You need to blame Greg. Greg made the mistake of taking Keith Given first. He crushed my hand. I had to do what I had to do. It's Greg's fault, really.
Mistakes were made. Mistakes were made. And I think we've talked to everybody about the risks. So let's go on. Finally, after all this time and all the hoopla, all the twists and turns of the last numerous hours. My God. We're down to the lightning round. This is how we end every podcast. We have a lightning round question. This is going to be – and this is treading over some ground we've been over enough here, but this is going to put everybody on the spot to name your favorite individual pitch from each individual company and a very, very, very brief explanation.
Dear God.
Let us start with none other than Nick Duke.
I'm not gonna be boxed in by your demands. I'm gonna give you two for each one, but they'll be brief, I promise.
Okay.
From Greg Phillips, Love and Gotham, because I'm a Batman and Catwoman shipper. Also, Batman, because again, three boners for the price of one. from Tim, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, because writing in the Retaliators ? Made me chuckle. Also, Infinity Spectrum. I like that. I like the lineup of characters. I like the creative team. From Todd, Alias, because Jessica Jones kicks ass and Furious was a cool concept. From Russell, Nightwing, because fuck yeah, Scott Snyder, and The Question, because fuck yeah, The Question is Steve Niles and Sean Murphy.
Very good, very good. Let's bring it on to me, the other hard-traveling fanboy. I'm going to pick Extraordinary X-Men from Tim for reasons that I've gone into already. Wonderful concept. Love the X-Men. Wish something like this would be done with them in real life. From Todd, I had a tough time deciding between two, but I ultimately picked the Dragon's Code because I love Chuck Dixon. I wish he was doing more today, and I think it fills a niche that, again, is underserved in today's market of that martial arts-themed book. The question from Russell, I've mentioned before that I would be most likely to read Nightwing, but as far as my favorite pitch, I love the way he wrote The Question. I love the creative team behind it. Again, a book that probably needs to be happening in today's market. And from Nick, my pick was actually The Spectre. Which surprised me because I like a lot of his, but again, not being filled in today's market, very good creative team, and I like the way that he put the concept out there and made it something that I think people could bite into easier than when I was a kid and the Spectre was kind of a much more difficult concept to comprehend, if that makes sense. I think the way Nick's pitch was written really distills it to an understandable level. All right, Tim, go ahead, my friend.
Okay, I will echo Dragon's Code from Todd Weber for reasons we've talked about already. From Mr. Duke, I'm going to say Punisher Red Hood, actually, which I haven't talked about a lot. But, you know, just reading the pitch just sounds really, really cool and just grabs me by the balls, like, immediately. So...
And a better use of Jason Todd than anything DC's done in the last 10 years. So.
No doubt. From who am I going to look at next? From Russell would be The Endless. Just a great title, great mix of characters, great concept. Creators Kieran Gillen and J.H. Williams III. I mean, just. Again, just nail, knocks it out of the park there. You know, I'm not a whole lot for that kind of occult style book, but this, I mean, I would be down for. And then from you, Mr. Phillips, let's see. I'm definitely not scrolling through the list as I talk about The Authority. The Authority, without a doubt. I've already gotten into that. It's kind of similar to an idea that I've had over the years about like an Avengers type book with sort of the monarchs of the Marvel Universe and how they would interact and just that kind of world politics sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you're going for, and I think
exactly
picked the right mix of characters for the job. And Cullen Bunn, even though I think he his name is a limited time offering from Pillsbury Products, as I've mentioned off list, perhaps. He's a very skilled, talented writer, and Mike Deodato can do this kind of thing. I mean, that very aspirational type of series where it's, you know, big ideas, big characters, big concepts. Mike Deodato is a great man for the job.
Which leaves us only with Mr. Russell Sellers, sir. Let's hear your picks.
I'm just going to keep it to one each, although that was incredibly hard to narrow it down to. But, Greg, I mentioned it before. From your line, I'm going to go with Detective because that just appeals to every bit of noir fanboy that exists in me. So I'm actually like – that would probably be my favorite book from every one of your pitches, just easy, because I love that type of street-level detective type of pitch. From Tim, dude, that Moon Knight thing, I know you said that was last minute, but yeah, that speaks to me. That just says I'm going to love this. There's no way this is not going to be one of the most entertaining things I've ever picked up.
Last minute on all these damn picks.
Yeah, right? it just spoke to me in ways that a book like that, I never expected it to either. That's what makes that the pick from your line and my next pick from Todd's, Furies. I was immediately sold by the creative team, and then I read the pitch and thought, "What? Yes, all of this. That just works so well. Great use of Nick Fury and Oracle, mixing in, you know, all these like great female heroes. It just sounds like so much fun, you know, and that's really what's going to get me into a comic if I feel like I'm going to have fun reading it. And that one sounds like it would be fun every single month. And over on Nick's, even though I said earlier that I would absolutely be on board with every single JMS title, and you would think that that one of those would wind up being it, but no, the best pitch I thought was Young Justice. That idea of the rectangle or diamond or prism love story between these young characters. Having Red Robin out front is great too, and having him playing kind of opposite Damian Wayne, I think, just lends itself to having a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it seems like it's everything that we have been pining for out of a teen book, because you get kind of those classic soap opera-y elements that were on the teen books when – you know, pretty much throughout the history of comics, you have to have that kind of soap opera element, but also a good mix of characters from a power standpoint, from a background standpoint. Yeah, I totally agree.
It's easily from his line, that would be the one that I would never miss. I could see that being just such a great book from a character study all the way to, you know, being just a great action adventure title as well. And I mean, it's got Kelly Sue DeConnick writing it, which means it's going to feel contemporary. It's going to feel like it really belongs in the modern comic book world. And how can you possibly go wrong with Brian Hitch on art? That's going to be my book.
Yeah, great picks all around. And with all that being said, now we begin the next process where we take on the roles of these writers and we actually script out these comics. So look for that to come in the year 2018 here at Place to Be Nation.
He's being optimistic for that episode.
But in all seriousness, folks,
I came close with that X-Men pitch. That was more than just a sketch out on a cocktail napkin. I had to trim that significantly, but I think it still came out in this podcast with my, as Todd put it, verbal diarrhea. You see how passionate I am about some of these things. So.
Oh, absolutely. And we hope, I'm sure that nobody's had quite as much fun listening as we have had participating. But because I've enjoyed the hell out of this, and hopefully you guys have as well. And in all seriousness, we really do want your feedback on this. If you've seen these pitches and you enjoy these pitches or you hate these pitches, you like the concept, you hate the concept, let us know. Let us know what you think we should do different next time if we choose to revisit this in the future. What some of your ideas would be to do. Maybe you see some of the characters that some of us had, some of the writers and artists, and think, well, maybe you should have put these guys with this character or these gals with this character or whatever. Let us know. And you can do that by emailing us, which you can find on all of our email addresses on placetobenation.com. You can contact us on Twitter, on Facebook. Let us know. Let the website know what you think about our work, and if you think any of these ideas would be good for real life. I can certainly think of, you know, at least a few dozen of these that I could easily see being used in real life and would be an improvement over a lot of things. So anyway, give us a shout out, and I'd like to thank, obviously, the panel for participating. Todd, who's gone now, Tim, Russell, and Nick, thanks a lot for joining me and kind of going through some of our fanboy, fan theory, fan fiction geekitude here at Place to Be Nation. Thanks a lot, guys.